Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt. Our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the podcast. And I'm in studio with the one and only Mr. Michael Hyatt. How are you, buddy?
Good, Stu. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, too. And we're going to be talking about a subject during this podcast episode that you are intimately familiar with, and that is leadership.
Yes.
But leadership is a pretty vast subject matter. I mean, there's lots of blogs, books, presentations. Everybody's got a take on leadership. What I want to do in this episode is I really want to distill down to one golden nugget that we can provide our listeners of one thing that would make them a better leader. And so are you ready to tackle this?
I am, absolutely.
Okay, and so what is that one thing, just so that we can get that out of the bag, and then we'll break that down.
Well, if I had to identify one thing that would take your leadership to a whole new level that will serve you for decades, it's reading.
Just reading.
Just reading. I'm convinced that the reason that I ascended through the corporate ranks and ended up being a CEO and ended up writing a lot about leadership is because I'm a reader. And I started that practice really in college, maybe even before that in high school, but I just couldn't get enough information. You know, I was constantly reading all the time, developed a library of thousands of books, and now to this day, I read like crazy, constantly. Not only blog posts and listening to podcasts, but books. Long form reading is kind of a forgotten art.
Right.
But for leaders, it gives you a very quick edge and will really differentiate you from the people that you work with.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about here today is the 5 advantages of reading and as particular how it pertains to leadership.
Yes.
And so I want to dive into that. Okay. So let's talk about the advantages, starting with advantage number 1.
Yeah, the first advantage I would say is that reading makes us better thinkers. And the reason it does that is because it gives us kind of the raw material out of which we can form our thoughts, find connections, build arguments, and become more persuasive. So reading gives us all that. Whenever we can illustrate from a book that we've read, or we can point to maybe a historical event that we've read about, or a biography and illustrate it with somebody's life, the more compelling we're going to be as individuals, frankly, the more interesting we'll be. But it does make us better thinkers. As we, you know, when you're reading whatever else you're doing, you're studying somebody else's thought process.
Yeah.
You know, even in novels, to see how that they develop a plot. I just read a novel this weekend that was terrific. But to see how the author developed his plot, how he developed his characters, how the setting, you know, the words he used to describe all that. But it gives you the raw material, even the vocabulary, Stu.
Right.
So that people who are readers are constantly developing vocabulary.
Yeah.
If all you're doing is talking to people, you might grow your vocabulary a little bit. But when you're reading, you're coming across words, phrases, nuances, things that you wouldn't come across in the normal course of your life. And so reading expands your horizons in that sense.
I love it too, because when you're telling stories, learning how to tell a story is is really developed through seeing how others tell stories.
Yes.
And reading, whether it's novels or whether it's stories, like real life stories that are in, you know, nonfiction books and so forth, to me is really powerful as a leader to be able to then use similar sorts of, like you said, how to form arguments, how to share stories, how to explain things.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
I found this piece of research. It was interesting from Anne Cunningham. And she compared the general knowledge of readers and television watchers. I mean, you might want to argue that, hey, they're both input. You know, if I'm watching television, I'm getting a lot of new ideas. If I'm reading a book, I'm getting a lot of new ideas. But she said that readers not only knew more than television watchers, but they were also better at deciphering misinformation. In other words, reading improved their judgment.
Right.
Because they had to use some cognitive facilities that you don't use when you're watching TV. TV is completely a passive activity.
Yep.
You know, you're sitting there, you're watching it, you're taking it in. And, you know, I mean, I watch some TV and nothing wrong with that. Love movies.
Little Friday Night Lights.
Little Friday Night Lights. But reading is a much more active thing. It requires your participation in the story, in a sense, or in the content that you're reading. You're constantly evaluating against the body of what you know. And it does improve, as Anne Cunningham has shown, it improves your judgment.
And again, I want to make the distinction. The reading that we're talking about is not some short form like blog posts. We're talking
right.
Long form books.
Longer form books. And, you know, blog posts are great.
Yeah.
I write a blog. Don't stop reading it. But But long form reading takes more discipline, more engagement. And I think that there are just some arguments that can't be developed or some stories that can't be developed in short form. I mean, just think of novels. You know, there's definitely short stories and those are great, but you can't develop a long story in the same way that you can when you've got a full novel to do that.
Right.
You can't do that in short form.
Have there been any books in particular that have influenced your thinking?
Oh my gosh. Every book.
Really?
I mean, every business book, history books. I love reading history books, books on the Civil War. You know, I read a 3-volume series on the Civil War that was hugely helpful because you see leadership at work. Hmm. Team of Rivals, you know, is another popular book that I read about Abraham Lincoln and his cabinet. 1776 on the history of the Revolutionary War, and anything by David McCullough, John Adams, you know, that book about him was in particular helpful. But again, I think it gives you the raw material.
Yep.
So that you can be a better thinker. And I'm constantly doing that. Like, I honestly, I don't try to remember everything I've read.
Yep.
And a lot of people are, like my wife is a good example of this. She wants to underline or highlight everything and make notes. I'm not reading so that I can retain it. Hmm. I'm reading it so that it interacts with my own thinking and changes my thinking. So I'm looking for the synthesis, not the recall.
That's an important distinction in terms of how you're using reading for your own thinking.
Yes.
It's less about memorization, less about recall, more about almost it serving as a source of stimuli.
That's right.
To percolate.
Sharpening your own thinking. And a lot of people worry about this. They say, well, I don't remember what I read. You know, I read this and I had to go back and read that same chapter. No. That's why when I listen to audiobooks, obviously I can't underline or I can't highlight. And there's times I wish I could. But for the most part, I'm looking to that to be a catalyst for my own thinking and to mature my own thinking about an issue, not so that I can regurgitate it word for word or even thought by thought.
Awesome. Okay, so the first advantage of reading for a leader is that it makes us better thinkers.
Yes.
What's the second advantage?
Second one is that it improves our people skills. This may be a little bit counterintuitive. You think, how could that be possible? But this is particularly, I think, the case when you're reading novels or when you're reading history or when you're reading memoirs, because you see all these personalities fleshed out. And not only that, but if the writer's a good writer, you're getting inside their head.
Mm.
So you're seeing what they're thinking and what their motivations are. And I think it expands the scope of your understanding of psychology and human nature and what makes people tick.
Because you're understanding life through a different lens and seeing how people would interact with the same situations that you may have interacted with, but just in a totally different way.
Yeah, totally different way. Yeah. And it gives you a certain, I think, different social skills and different understanding of human nature that can serve you in social situations. It also, I would say this, and this is kind of a secondary thing, but if you're a reader, you're just going to be more interesting.
Right.
So I was recently, we were talking about this earlier, but I was recently with someone who's well-known. I was at a cocktail party with them. And I was astonished at how much they knew.
Huh.
This person is a business leader, but thoroughly well-read in world history, in geography, in natural history. And they weren't doing this in a showy kind of way, but just in their conversation,
yep.
It was clear that they were painting from a much bigger palette than most of the people that were gathered around this person.
And it just made them more interesting.
Yeah, it made them more interesting. So it made them very much, it improved their people skills too, because they connected with people much more easily. Like one person was talking about part of the country that they were from, and this person who had all this knowledge was able to relate to that and give this person history about where they were from that they didn't even know.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it does improve your people skills.
And a lot of that comes from the fact that they just have things to talk about because of
That's right.
They've been digesting in terms of the books they've been reading.
That's exactly right.
Awesome. Okay. So the first two advantages so far of being a better reader is reading makes us better thinkers and reading improves our people skills. Those are the first two. We've got three more advantages to reading for leaders. We'll get to those in just a minute.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week.
but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. We are talking about the one thing that leaders can do to improve their leadership skills, and Michael's identified that to be reading, and we're talking about the five advantages to reading. So far, we've covered two of them, Michael. Number one, reading makes us better thinkers. And number two, reading improves our people skills. What's advantage number three?
Reading helps us master communication. You know, when you read good writing, you begin to reflect that, begin to imitate it, and it influences and improves your own writing and speaking skills. You know, I quoted the work of Ann Cunningham earlier, but she said the books, the magazines, and the other written texts we read as adults use double and triple the number of rare words we hear on television.
Wow.
So just giving us more vocabulary. And so many distinctions are made with vocabulary. And if you have a limited vocabulary, you're gonna have limited distinctions.
Yep.
If you have a broad vocabulary, you're gonna have broad distinctions and understand nuances that other people don't understand. And I've seen so many times where what I've read influences my writing, which I love. I just read Andy Weir's book, The Martian.
Yep.
And he writes, it's this guy that's stranded like Robinson Crusoe on Mars. And he writes these very terse, very short sentences because he's journaling what he's experiencing.
Yeah.
And so I noticed after I read that novel, I was writing in my own journal and I thought, I'm channeling him.
You know? Because your sentences were shorter.
Yeah. I tend to write like that anyway. I tend to write pretty short, pretty direct. If I have a complex sentence, I'll usually divide it into two sentences. And keep it simple, because I just learned that communicates, that kind of direct communication creates more connection with people, is more intimate.
And it's easier to read.
It's easier to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get those long convoluted sentences, people get lost in them. So just reading that book by Andy Weir influenced my own writing. Huh. And I think I'm able to write as well as I am because I've read a lot of books. Hmm. And I picked that up subtly. You know, nobody taught me that. They probably did, but it didn't sink in. Like just the imitation factor of reading good literature. And it's influenced by public speaking.
Definitely.
As well.
Well, one of the things that I would say too, when we first started working together, I was amazed at your ability to be given a subject and in 30 seconds be able to formulate a really nice, tight, teachable lesson. Mm. And I think a lot of that comes from your ability to be able to think on your feet and be able to articulate what you're thinking in a clear way. And I think largely that's been influenced by your reading and your practice of communication.
Yeah, thank you. And I try to be a student of communication as well. So I love listening to great speakers and all that. But again, listening to somebody read a book, which audiobooks do that, or reading it for yourself, I think is one of the best ways you can improve your communication.
Right.
People that don't do that, are just limited to their own vocabulary, their own ideas, their own communication patterns, and they're not going to be as good a communicators.
You know, on an aside, I've been doing a lot recently about, I've been studying a lot of comedians. So I've been listening
to a lot. That explains so much.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of comedians, but also reading a lot of material from comedians. And seeing how they set up certain jokes and reveal the surprise and how that has impact in the story and the effectiveness of the story, especially when we're communicating. And it's amazing because you start to see patterns and you start to understand almost like a formula for this type of communication.
Yep.
But that only comes from studying it, and reading is certainly a big part of that.
Well, that's one of the questions I love to ask when I'm reading a book is, what's the communication methodology that the author is employing in communicating this? Like, what are the devices that he's using or she is using in their writing that's making this work?
Yeah.
And so to take a kind of a big stand back. So I do get lost in the story like anybody else, but there's also this sort of meta level where I'm trying to analyze the writing or the communication and say, why is this effective?
Are there communicators that you love reading their materials and in particular?
Well, I mentioned David McCullough earlier. I just think he's amazingly good. On the fiction side, I love Stephen King.
Yeah.
you know, just for his ability to create suspense. And he does that a lot by what he doesn't say.
Interesting.
You know, kind of just leaves it. He doesn't connect all the dots, so you're kind of left to your own imagination, which is far worse than, you know, than if he was to paint a vivid picture of what it is he's trying to, the story he's trying to tell.
Awesome. Okay, so advantage number three is that it helps us master communication. What's the fourth advantage to reading?
Well, this is kind of a surprising one too, but it helps us relax. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a lot of people say they read before they go to bed at night. Why? Because it helps them relax. It just slows your brain down,
yeah,
and gets it focused. My brain, I don't think I'm ADD, but I'm probably close. You know, and my brain's going like crazy. And the hardest thing I have about going to sleep tonight at night is getting to sleep because it's hard to turn my brain off.
You're just thinking about everything during the day. And
do you have that problem?
I used to, but when I was younger, fortunately, I trained myself to sleep. So now, much to my wife's dismay, as soon as I hit the pillow, I'm out.
Yeah.
So I'm good in that way, but I can understand it. You know, if I'm ever going to bed and there's something important where my mind is racing, I do have challenges sleeping.
Well, that's a great thing about reading is because it focuses your brain.
Yeah.
It also takes your thinking off the current problems you're solving. So you're pulled into another world.
Right.
Which also tends to relax you too, because there's a world of difference between, thinking about your own problems and trying to solve your own problems and being in another world where you just sort of have a third party interest.
Yeah.
But it's not really your problem.
You have no invested interest at that.
That's right. So like I try to read every night before I go to sleep for that very reason, just to kind of relax me. And there was one study that compared reading to other stress relievers like walking, listening to music, or drinking a cup of tea. And reading was found to be the most effective. Hmm. And it worked to lower heart rates and relieve tension in as few as 6 minutes.
Have you ever found, I want to challenge you a little bit, have you ever found reading at night then gets you thinking about more things, which?
For me, it doesn't. Hmm. You know, I'm able to put it down. I will say that when I was reading that book by Andy Weir over the weekend, I did have to stay up and finish. I was two chapters away from finishing. It was 26 chapters. And I just was like, it was the climax of the story. And I said to Gail, I said, do you mind if I stay up another 20 minutes and finish this? And she said, no, I'll go ahead. So, but generally speaking, I can put it down because I know it's going to be there the next day. And
yeah.
And again, it's not my problem. It doesn't have to be solved.
Gotcha. Okay, great. So the fourth advantage is it helps us relax. What's the fifth advantage?
The fifth advantage is that it keeps us young. And I recently explained in a blog post that I wrote about why older people make better entrepreneurs. They typically have more advantages in terms of knowledge and experience and social contacts and so forth. But it's the same with leaders. And readers are especially positioned to leverage these advantages because reading has been shown by some research by Keith Stanovich to keep us mentally sharp as we age.
Hmm.
So this is a real challenge.
Yep.
You know, as our population gets older, we probably all know people who suffer from dementia or Alzheimer's, and it's a frightening disease.
Right.
You know, living older is only a good thing if the quality of your life can be good, right?
Right.
So I think the greatest thing that I fear at my age is growing older and losing my mental facilities, you know, that I don't have the sharpness. Well, reading has been shown in research again and again that it keeps you sharp.
Mm.
It forms new connections and it enables you to keep, you know, from struggling with those kind of old age issues that so many people struggle with.
Right, because your mind is yep. on top of things.
Plus it gives you just, I think it continues to make you relevant.
Yeah.
You know, when you're reading new books, you're getting the latest information, especially depends on the kind of books you're reading, but it constantly gives you new content, new associations in your brain. It forms new connections in your brain so that not only is it keeping you young, but it's making you more relevant in your social context, more useful to the company or the organization you're trying to lead.
Awesome. So we've been talking about five advantages to reading specifically for leaders. Number one, it makes us better thinkers. Number two, reading improves our people skills. Number three, reading helps us master communication. Number four, reading helps us relax. And number five, reading keeps us young. What I want to do now, Michael, is I want to make this practical for people.
Okay.
Okay, so what about the person who's saying, Michael, I'm on board. Reading sounds great. but where do I find the time? How can I make this practical? How can we give them some tips to really fully harness the power of reading?
Well, I get this a lot. And it just seems like in our always-on busy world, first of all, there's distractions. There's distractions from the internet. There are easier forms of media to consume. You know, play games, read blog posts, watch television, socialize. You know, there's just a lot of distractions out there.
Yeah.
Plus, there's more demands on us than ever. So here's some of the things that I found to be helpful. One is put it on your calendar.
Hmm.
Literally put it on your calendar. Now, I try to practice on my weekends something I learned from Dan Sullivan called free days.
Yep.
So I'm not doing any business-related work on the weekend. I'm not thinking about business. I'm not even talking about business. And I never do this 100%, but that's my goal is 100%. One of the activities that I love doing, particularly on the weekends, is reading. So doing more long-form reading, more recreational reading, reading that doesn't really have a purpose,
yep.
you know, except my own enjoyment or my own self-development, but yep. there's not a business reason for it. So I think just to put it on your calendar, and I literally put it on my calendar so that I've got time on Saturday morning. It's usually now a time when I'm reading all of Saturday morning.
And you were explaining to me off camera that you really loved this past weekend reading outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love getting outside and reading. I just parked myself on a picnic table under a big shade tree and just read outside.
That's awesome.
It was near a pool, so the grandkids were swimming in the pool, and it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, so
put it on your calendar.
Number one tip, put it on your calendar.
Things just don't happen. You got to make time for them. You've got to be intentional. I don't care if it's time with your family, if it's time for personal development or physical fitness or reading, you've got to make time to do what Stephen Covey calls sharpening the saw,
yeah.
right? So if you're not making time to do that, and I read every single morning.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. How often do you mark time on your calendar to read?
Yeah, I'm reading every single morning, which actually leads me to the second one, which is to take advantage of audiobooks during workouts or commutes. So I don't have much of a commute anymore. But back in the day when I was commuting 40 minutes each way to work and then back, I listened to audiobooks and I read tons of books by just listening to them in the car.
Yep.
And today I continue to read. Now I do read business books during the week and other more work-related books during the week. But I do that totally, almost 100% audiobooks.
Really? And how many books on average would you say that you're reading?
Probably about a book a week.
Yep.
Maybe okay. 2 books a week some weeks.
Hmm. Got it. Okay. So
can I say another one thing about that though?
Yeah, yeah.
If our listeners haven't discovered this, go to audible.com.
Hmm.
Audible.com is a fantastic resource. Tens of thousands of books on audio read by professional readers or by the author. And the cool thing is that a couple of years ago they were bought by Amazon.
Yep.
And so now there's something called WhisperSync.
Huh.
And I did it this weekend with this book, The Martian. So I bought it. I bought the Kindle version of it.
Yeah.
Have you done this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I bought the Kindle version, but I knew I was going to be listening to it a lot on audio too. Like I like to do both.
Yeah.
Okay, so like on the weekends, I'm more inclined to actually read the book. And during the week, during my workout, I'm inclined to listen to it. The cool thing about WhisperSync is it doesn't matter. Like I can listen to it on the audio when I was running errands this last weekend. But then when I get back to the house and want to pick up the Kindle, it's synced the two together. So
that's
it knows
amazing.
Exactly where I left off. And can pick up in the printed word.
That's crazy. That's really
And it goes
cool.
back and forth,
yeah.
just the same way.
So as you advance in the Kindle book, it's going to advance the audio
That's right.
on the Audible version.
And it'll ask you each time you get to one device, it'll say, do you want to sync to the furthest page read?
Yep.
And you say yes or no. But if you say yes, then it syncs to the last page read and you just pick up where you left off.
That's awesome. So you're listening on your iPhone.
Yep.
And you're reading on
a Kindle.
On a Kindle.
Occasionally, if it's a really, really good book and I want to get back to it and I want to highlight it and stuff, then I'll buy the printed edition
yep.
too.
Very cool. Okay, so first tip, put it on your calendar. Second tip, take advantage of audiobooks during workouts or commutes. Any other tips?
Yeah, diversify your reading.
Okay.
You know, old books, new books, business books, novels. Don't get stuck in a rut of reading just what you like.
Okay. I know I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I typically only read business books.
Yeah.
It's
easy to do.
Totally. I got to break myself of that.
You'd be surprised how much more interesting it makes you as a business communicator when you can cite books that are outside of business.
Gotcha.
So like, for example, this next weekend, the novel I'm going to read is To Kill a Mockingbird. So believe it or not, that's like by many experts considered to be the best American novel ever written.
Wow.
I've never read it.
Huh.
So I thought, I need to get that under my belt.
Interesting, yeah, because I have found myself only reading business or personal development books.
Yeah.
And I got to challenge myself to get out of that rut.
Well, and I would encourage you to read fiction.
Right.
I think it's more creative. I think it'll really expand your repertoire and your vocabulary and the worlds that you can visualize and storytelling.
That's a big advantage. I would love to.
And you're a great storyteller, but I think it would take it to another level.
Very cool.
So diversify your reading.
Got it. Okay, so that's the third tip. What's the fourth and final tip?
Yeah, this discuss what you're reading for maximum absorption.
Yep.
Gail and I have been members of book clubs at various times in our life, and that's been one of the most rewarding things that we've ever done.
So you just get together with people and discuss a particular book?
Yeah, like the last one we were in, and we haven't done this for a few years, but the last one we were in, we would decide on a book, and then we get together for dinner, so it was like a supper club.
Yeah.
And then we discussed that book. So whoever was hosting the dinner the next time got to pick the book.
Okay.
And that automatically created a lot of diversity.
Because everybody had different interests.
Everybody had different interests. And so we read some really big books and some small books and business books and novels and a little bit of everything.
And so how would those discussions kind of take place?
We would just discuss kind of what we got out of it.
Okay.
You know, I think if I were doing it now, I'd probably be more intentional.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of formulating the questions. And, you know, we practice this thing in our home, as you've experienced, sort of the one conversation rule.
Yeah.
And so we have one conversation, but the way that we've made that even better in recent years is when we have people over, like Gail recently hosted the spouses for our inner circle group, Mastermind. Yeah. And so she was very intentional. She and I actually worked together to come up with a list of questions that she could ask that group when they were invited into our home.
You guys are amazing at questions, by the way.
That's thank you.
A whole skill set in and of itself is asking questions because that really is the foundation for conversation.
It is.
Once you have a good question, that could open up the doors of communication immediately between people.
Well, we learned this years ago from, I think it was Dale Carnegie, but people are most interested in talking about themselves. That's their favorite subject.
Yeah.
So if you can ask them questions where they can talk about themselves, they're automatically guaranteed to be interested in the conversation. Sometimes we have to work at being interested, but they're automatically interested in it.
Yeah. So if you were doing this again, you would be intentional about having questions that could direct the conversation about a particular book.
Yes, and I will do it again. But you don't need many questions.
Got it.
My experience is that for about a two-hour conversation or a two-hour meeting, you probably need three questions.
Wow.
Maybe four questions. And then just to kind of follow the natural flow of the conversation. So you don't have to be rigid.
Yep.
You know, you can throw the question out there and then use follow-up questions to go deeper. And by the time everybody's shared and kind of exhausted that, then you can move on to the next question.
And so in the conversation, you're typically looking for, you know, what people got from the book. How did that get distilled through their lens and so forth? And just to see how the material impacted different
people. Yeah, exactly. So if it's a novel, you're one, did they suspend disbelief and were they caught up into the novel?
Yeah.
Or did they have a hard time doing that? You know, what do the characters mean for them? What's, you know, usually in a novel, you have a main character that experiences a transformation as he goes through this journey. And what was the transformation they saw? You know, how does it relate to their life? Nonfiction books, you know, it's everything from how are you going to apply it to what new insights did you get?
Yep. Awesome. Okay. So some great practical tips there. Number one, put it on your calendar. Number two, take advantage of audiobooks, particularly if you're working out or you're commuting and so forth. Number three, diversify your reading, old books, new books, various genres, and so forth. And then number four, discuss your reading within groups.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's it.
Well, thank you, my friend. And thank you for listening. If you would like the video version of today's podcast, you can find that over at michaelhyatt.com, as well as the show notes and transcript. They're all there as well, again, at michaelhyatt.com. Also, can you do us a quick favor? Jump over to iTunes and rate the podcast. When you do that, it helps us get the show in front of more great people like yourself, and we would really appreciate that. So just jump over there. It'll take you 30 seconds. We'd be forever grateful. Michael, as we wind down here today, do you have any final thoughts on reading as it impacts leadership?
Yeah, I like to read books that have been crowdsourced I'm not too experimental. I want to read the best of the best because there's so many good books. I don't want to waste my time on the ones that aren't great. So if people are looking for a place to start, particularly with fiction, and I find that business people have a hard time with fiction, right? So just Google this. In fact, we'll have a link in the show notes. But Time Magazine has a list of the 100 best novels of all time.
Wow.
And that's where I got the list of To Kill a Mockingbird. So just take that and just start working down the list and you'll be guaranteed to read the best novels.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, my friend.
You're welcome.
Thank you to the listener. And until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.